Like, you just have to be quick on your feet. You can't dwell on something too long. And when you have your own business, no one else is going to do it except for you or your business partner. So you just need to be on top of it.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast.
What do you want to do when you grow up? Do you remember being asked that question? It seems to be a favorite question of us to ask our kids, and the responses are usually filled with the biggest, most magical dreams of the youngest minds. But what if your interests and dreams as a kid could tell you more about your true passions to pursue as an adult? Jennifer Hochstadt is a former television producer turned family lifestyle photographer and now business owner and co-founder of a brand that I absolutely love, a brand that I've personally invested in called Baby Barn. Each pivot, each yes to a new opportunity and experience brought her closer to what she really wanted to do with her career. And much of her inspiration came from what she was interested in as a kid and later found out to be interested in again as a mom. I am so excited for Jennifer to share her story and to dig into the pivots and decisions that led her to launch a product-based brand and business. Here she is, Jennifer Hochstadt. Gold diggers, I have a podcast recommendation for you. If you like staying in the know when it comes to trends in business, well, you'll love My First Million podcast, hosted by Sam Parr and Sean Pori, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network. My First Million brainstorms new business ideas based on trends and opportunities in the market and shares the stories of how companies made their first million. It's conversational and interesting with insights on topics that we don't always get into on Gold Digger. NFTs with Gary Vaynerchuk, direct-to-consumer strategies, how vending machines are generating millions. Sean and Sam have their ear to the ground for the next big thing in business, and the guests are top-notch. Listen to My First Million wherever you go to get your podcasts. Thanks to Gusto for supporting the Gold Digger podcast. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll and benefits to small businesses across the country. They even were named the best online payroll by PC Mag. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/golddigger. I am so excited to welcome this guest to our podcast. She is the most creative, inspiring, just exciting person. And Jen, just welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Oh, so we are going to dive into all things that you do today. And before we do that, I just have to share with our audience that you and I kind of became business partners in a sense.
Yes.
Which is something that's just so exciting. I've shared with my audience before that I've always had this desire to invest in companies that I believe in. And I am so fortunate to become an investor in what we'll talk about today, what we'll reveal today, just because I love, believe in, and use the products so much. I was literally just telling you about how Coco has been wearing these clothes every single day. And so we'll dive into all of that. But before we do, can you just give us kind of a snapshot into your entrepreneurial journey? It's evolved a lot from the beginning. And so start at the beginning for me first.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, the entrepreneur side of me, I think, dates way, 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 way back. My dad is an entrepreneur. He's a real estate entrepreneur. So I've always I've been introduced to that lifestyle before, and it's intrigued me. I loved the aspect of just growing something and not really having a ceiling cap on what you could do. So as a kid, my play dates usually consisted of either starting some type of business or writing and producing some type of movie. So my friends and I would get together and we would think like, okay, what's like something that we want to do today? Oh, okay, let's start a house cleaning business. So we would make little flyers and we'd be like, okay, $40 for the whole house, $20 if you only have like a one-story house, we'll cut you a deal. And so we'd go around and we'd pass out these flyers and my parents would be like, what are you girls doing? Like, this is great. We really admire your spirit, but like, we can't really have you going around to these people's houses. So they'd have to go around and like apologize to all the neighbors. And it got a little bit more sophisticated the older that I got. With my best friend, Rachel, we started a business called Chains by Ray J. So it was short for Rachel and Jenny. And we made eyeglass chains. So her dad was an eye doctor. And we had this idea. We're like, okay, we can make these like beautiful beaded chains and sell them in his office. So on our Friday night, we'd have on our TGIF and we'd be like beading our little chains. And we created our logo and we had a little display in his office. And it was just always a little like bug inside of me that I loved. I always kind of knew deep down that I wanted to have my own business and especially product-based.
So how did those endeavors, I'm just smiling hearing about it. One, TGIF, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, anyone?
Like, oh, Boy Meets World, Sabrina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we like so many fond memories.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love how some of us really do have this innate entrepreneurial spirit about us when it comes to earning money and doing something that you love. How did those translate into what you do today? And share with us a little bit about what you do.
Well, it was an interesting path that I took, but I think like everything leads into the next thing. So I'm a big proponent on, you know, not turning down opportunities. Like you might have it in your mind what the perfect opportunity or, you know, path for yourself might be, but like, you can't wait for certain things to come along. Sometimes you just have to go for other things. So with that said, like I mentioned, as a kid, it was like either writing or directing shows or making a business. And in college, I ended up doing an internship on the set of a television show. And I loved it. So I was like, okay, you know, it's always in the back of my head to have my own business, but this actually seems like tangible right now. Like, I feel like I could pursue this. So I moved to LA after graduating college and not really knowing anyone. Like, I was like, I just want to get into the entertainment business. Well, so does most of LA. So I was like, okay. And I graduated in 2009, which was one of the hardest years to even find a job, period, let alone in a very sought after industry. So I ended up signing up for a temp agency. And their first assignment that they gave me was for an investment firm. So it's pretty much polar opposite of anything that I was interested in. They're like, okay, you have to show up and, you know, wear a suit. It's very corporate. And you're gonna call people and try to transfer their accounts over. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? This is not exactly my like dream job, but I'm going to give it my all. I'm just going to put all my effort in and I'm going to show up. I'm going to be the first one there. I'm going to work hard. And I did. And it was about after 2 months of this job, they like write reports on how you're doing. And they gave a great report to the temp agency. And my person that I worked with at the temp agency said, look, like, I know you're really interested in entertainment and this desk position, this temporary desk position came along and you're like not qualified for it. I'm just going to be like candid with you. They wanted someone with experience, but because you got such a great report from this, you know, financial place that you've been working at, I'm going to go out on a limb and give this assignment to you. So I think like that experience in life just shows me too, like whatever's in front of you, work hard, like give it your all. You never know where that's going to take you. And I ended up working at this entertainment place and made contacts there. And it was those contacts that ultimately led me to landing an executive assistant position with the executive producer.
Wow.
So you never
know. Where'd you go from there?
Yeah. So from there, I started working with two producers who really became my mentors in the business, Jack Martin, Jeff Aploff. They are kindest souls. I couldn't have asked to work for anyone better. They were great. And I really got thrown in. Like, it was like, okay, you are going to be our assistant and we're going to be shooting 160 episodes of a syndicated show. And we start in a couple weeks. So let's go. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. But like, whoa, I'm in over my head. But again, I was like, I am just going to give it my all. And I'm going to Google everything I don't know and ask questions and just be as proactive as I possibly can. And I worked my way up from there. And they were, like I said, great mentors. They helped me along the way. So becoming an executive assistant, I then became an associate producer. And I worked on different television shows for MTV and Fox and NBC. And I loved, loved, loved it. But like that entrepreneurial side of me never left. It was definitely always in the back of my head. And you know, it's hard to know. It's like you have something good going. Like, do you leave or like, what do you do? You know, from there, I ended up eventually like getting married and having a baby. And I think having kids totally shifts priorities in your life also. And I knew right away, like, it's not impossible for me to have a career in production, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
Like the hours that you're required to be on set, a lot of the times, I mean, 6 a.m. until midnight. And then if you're doing a field show, it's like, okay, you have to take off and go to New York or travel. And if you have a baby, like it's a hard lifestyle to do. And so like, I, again, like had it in the back of my head, like, okay, I don't know if like having a newborn is the best time to really start a business, but if I'm going to do it, maybe around now would be the time to do it.
So what did you find when you became a mom? I feel like becoming a mom is this whole identity shift, but it's also, you know, you start to see problems or opportunities or things, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a total identity shift. I mean, people can try to explain it to you, you know, when you have a kid, your life is going to change. But until you're actually in that moment, you're like, oh, this is what that means. Like, oh my gosh, everything changes. Yeah. And I was at the time like commuting. So after he was 3 months old, I went back to work and I was commuting. We live in Manhattan Beach, but I was commuting up to Sunset. So it was like an hour 15 each way. So, you know, a long time commuting and then coming back. And I just felt like I really didn't have control over my schedule. And then I also had like a passion for photography. So on the side, I had started photography, but very little because I was working full time. So I just did it on the weekends. And I thought to myself, you know what? I've built up a pretty decent client base. And I feel like for what I'm paying a nanny, because obviously when you have a kid, financials do become a part of it. You start looking at, you know, what am I making? What am I paying for childcare? Like how sustainable is this lifestyle right now? So I thought to myself, you know what, if I could expand my client base with photography and kind of work around my own schedule, in a way, I think I can make almost as much as I'm making now and still be able to spend a lot more time with my baby. So I made the jump. After about 4 months going back after maternity leave, I was like, I'm going to make the jump. Like, I don't know if this is the right time. Like, it's scary leaving a comfortable position too. Like, I think that was the hardest thing for me is like, whoa, I'm walking away from a career that I really put a lot of time and effort into. And, you know, you work your way up the ladder that you get to a certain point sometimes where you're like, is it okay to walk away from this? You know, and it's like, it's a real crossroad. But with that long commute, I listened to a ton of podcasts and a lot of which were about starting your own business. And I just felt it in my soul. I was like, you know what? I think this is meant to be. I've felt it since a kid. I think I just need to just do it, make the leap. And if anything, I can go back, you know, yes. I can go back. And I think just remembering that too, you know, if you've built a pretty solid foundation in a certain career, like you can go back.
Yeah.
And so I made the leap, and Cam, my son, was, you know, he's 9 months old at the time, I believe. And it's hard. You have a 9 month old. And then I was also trying to grow my photography business, but I was so happy. Like I knew right away. I was like, okay, this is good. I feel really good about this. And yeah, so I started growing that, and it was nice. But then the other side of me, I was like, I should just be good with how things are right now. But I was like, but I really want to do a product-based business also. So then cue Baby Barn.
Tell me about how you founded Baby Barn, what it is, and what excited you about diving into this space.
Yes. Having my son to it, it opened up a whole new world, and one of which was dressing him. Like, I had so much fun curating his outfits, picking out clothes. So I was like, well, I wish there was just one place that I could go to that had amazing baby clothes that were, you know, curated essentials and a color palette that I loved. Like, I'm a big lover of neutrals and soft tones and muted tones and dusty tones. And my husband at the time, well, not at the time, he's in the apparel business. He's the co-founder of Legends. And I was like, oh my gosh, Scott, like, we need to do a baby Legends line. Like, I have so many ideas for baby clothes. And oh my gosh, this silhouette with this, and I can with living this stuff. And he was like, yeah, that's all great, but like, we're focusing on menswear. Like, I don't think we want to get into baby stuff right now. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I really want to do this. So they ended up opening a little pop-up shop in downtown Manhattan Beach. And when they did that, I was like, well, there's so many kids in this area. Why don't we just make it just for the pop-up shop? It doesn't have to be online, but just for the pop-up shop, I can just make like a small amount of kid items and just see how it does. And so I did, and it did really, really well. But it still wasn't enough to convince him to like switch his business plan. So then my neighbor, Brian Scott, he is my co-founder of Baby Barn. We had started Baby Barn, but we were actually starting in nutrition first. And I was like, Brian, like, there is something to this apparel thing, and I really think we should introduce this to our customers. Like, I have so many ideas for this and, you know, what this line could be. And he was like, okay. Like, let's do that. So we made up our line and like what it would look like, and we introduced it, and it outsold the nutrition products like by tenfold. So we instantly knew, we're like, okay, this is working. Like, let's expand on this. So I was like, okay, sorry, Scott. Like, I'm gonna do this for Baby Barn now.
If you haven't already implemented a CRM system into your business, well, now is the time. CRM, or customer relationship management, is at the heart of scaling your side hustle into your success story. CRM systems take any customer interaction and transform that interaction into valuable data and insights, allowing you to strengthen relationships with your customers and grow your business. Many CRM platforms are either over-engineered or clunky and unreliable, costing you more time and money than they're worth. A HubSpot CRM platform means you have a purpose-built solution that's tailored to your business and your business alone. So whether you're just getting started or looking for a robust system, HubSpot is super flexible and totally customizable, meaning it scales and grows as you do. With new features like business units, association labels, permission sets, and more, HubSpot admins can tailor their account like never before. And now with sandboxes, admins have access to a production-like account, allowing them to test, iterate, and experiment without risk. Learn more about how you can customize your CRM platform with HubSpot at HubSpot.com. When NSYNC sang Just Got Paid, they definitely weren't singing from the point of view of an entrepreneur who's trying to figure out payroll for their business. Navigating payroll and taxes and other HR needs isn't necessarily a skill you have before you become a boss, but thankfully there are systems to help you get your employees paid and to manage all things HR. I've teamed up with Gusto, and they're offering you 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/golddigger. Gusto is an easy online platforms, benefits, and HR built for modern small businesses with all the management tools you need in one platform. Gusto automatically files and pays all state, local, and federal payroll taxes. Plus, the fast, easy-to-run payroll includes W-2s and 1099s for your team, as well as tools to manage health benefits, 401ks, and more for almost any budget. On average, running payroll with Gusto takes just 11 minutes, and you'll get 3 months for free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/golddigger. That's 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/golddigger. I love that. So first off, Drew loves Legends clothes, so loves it. But I also am kind of proud of Scott for being like, nope, this is not my vision, because it forced you to pursue your vision. And what has it looked like since that first run of apparel? It has expanded. It has evolved. It has changed. And it's funny because we're very good friends with Brian and Katrina. Yes. Katrina was on the podcast. Katrina Scott, founder of Tone It Up.
Love
and
it.
They had started sending us clothes because Bella and Coco are just 2 months apart. And I fell in love with the clothes. I remember the first things we got was just the set. It was a little set of sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And pretty soon Coco was just wearing them all the time. And then we would say, Brian, do you got any more? Where is this from? Where? What? Tell me more about it. So tell me how things evolved from that first run.
Yeah. So when we started our business too, we wanted to be strategic. We didn't want to raise a ton of money and have a ton of investors just to have investors. We're like, let's grow this slow. So our first run that we ordered was a very like modest size order. And we, at the time, only went up to 12 months.
Yeah.
In sizing. And when it sold out almost immediately, we're like, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, now we know we need to order more inventory. Like, clearly this is working. So let's order more inventory. And then our number one request was bigger sizes. So we're like, okay, let's go up to 2T. And then still like requests for bigger sizes. We're like 3T, 4T. And now we go all the way up to 5T. So we offer from newborn size to 5T. And our whole view on the business is really a minimalist approach to a closet. So I feel like as a parent, like I did anyways, I felt inundated with stuff. Like you have so much stuff. It's like different bottles, different pacifiers, like installing car seats and strollers. And it's all a lot to deal with. So when it came to clothes, I found a lot of the outfits that my son, and now I have a daughter, but that they have that are like too intricate, like too many snaps, too many buttons, like too hard to get on, really loud colors or prints. They either didn't really wear them, or it felt like I all of a sudden had like a striped shirt with polka dot pants. And I'm like, wait, like how? Oh God. Okay. Well, that's what you're wearing because I can't dig through the laundry anymore.
Yeah.
So with our line, we really wanted to create a minimalistic line of essentials. So clothing that is so comfortable for the kid to wear. It's stretchy, breathable, lightweight, and also in colors that you can seamlessly mix and match for the most part. So no matter who's getting your little one dressed, they can pull from the drawer and they have these great outfits. Like, you know, they look put together. And that's why we sell a lot of our stuff in sets also. So you have a matching top, matching bottom, but then a lot of our sets coordinate. So even if you have a top from a different set and a bottom from a different set, chances are they could still go together. And then people seem to really gravitate towards that. We've gotten tons of feedback about how much easier it makes shopping for the little one and getting a little one dressed. And it's also kind of a foolproof baby shower gift because you can't go wrong with neutral sweatsuit that's comfortable.
Yes. Well, it's so funny too, because with both of my pregnancies, we didn't know the gender. And so we just automatically went very neutral intentionally, which I'm so grateful for, because it's like baby number two is set. Like they've got everything they could possibly need.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the capsule idea, because I used to do capsule wardrobes for myself. And even maternity wise, I found myself going back to that capsule approach because I'm like, I'm not going to fill my closet with things I'm only going to wear for a few months, which is essentially what happens for children. They only wear things for just a few months, and then you're faced with this debate of what to do with it. Where does it go? So walk me through what a capsule wardrobe is, because I think that's really the heartbeat too of the way that you create and design.
Totally. So yeah, we really want to create a wardrobe that your child could wear from the time they fit into it to the time they grow out, but in materials that they wash so well. So I'm like, when I get a sample in, I'm doing the wash test most of the time. Yes. I'm like washing. I have my kids wear them. I'm like, have at it, go play, move, run. I want to make sure that the fabric's not pilling or anything, because with these wardrobes, we want you to be able to either save them for baby number two, three, four, or pass them off to a loved one. We didn't want to create disposable clothing.
Yeah.
And then as far as like the capsule part of it, we really wanted to create a wardrobe that they would live in for that time period. So pieces that wouldn't just sit in the drawer. Like you would have a shirt that could go with leggings and a short. You could have a pullover sweatshirt that could go with, you know, the shorts or the sweatpants. So really mix and matching and items that they could live in for that time period. And eventually we would love to create bundles. So three or four times a year, the customer could sign up for a subscription service and receive a full bundle of a coordinated capsule wardrobe. So you'd have three shirts, two pants, an accessory depending on the season. So maybe a bucket hat or a beanie, and you'd have a jacket. You know, you're really your core items that you need for that season and that time period. And it's very compartmentalized. So it's not like you're having to run out to a ton of different stores and grab all this different mishmash stuff. It just arrives and you have it, and it's great quality, so you can pass it down or reuse it.
I love it. I mean, we have, since traveling has been kind of halted for obvious reasons, we have found before when travel was open, it was so much easier to pack for a trip because we could just throw in a bunch of the neutral things that could all be mixed and matched. And that was perfect. And also with the different climates and things, it was like a no-brainer. I want to know, Jen, since you started Baby Barn, as you started kind of dreaming up these ideas and stuff, what does your role look like today? You're designing, you're testing, you're marketing, you're promoting. Like, what does it look like for you as a co-founder of this growing brand?
Oh my gosh. It depends on the day. It is like a laundry list of things. Brian and I have kept our team pretty small intentionally right now because we really want all hands on the business. We want our customers to feel like, you know, we care, like these products are touched by us. We, as a mom, I'm like having my kids run around in them. I'm doing the wash test because last thing you want is you get an outfit and you wash it and it falls apart. Like, we don't want that. We don't want to put anything out that isn't going to hold up. So Brian and I run pretty much every facet of the business. We introduced apparel at the end of 2019. And then in 2020, obviously, COVID happened right around the time where we were in need of a warehouse because we were packing and filling all the orders ourselves, but we couldn't get one. So we continued to pack and fill for months and months and months. It wasn't until January of this year where we finally moved into a full warehouse. So that was taken off of our plates. But I, as far as my role, I mean, everything from designing to, I mean, I talk to our accountants all the time about our accounts and where we stand, working on POs. I've kind of moved that onto Brian's plate because I am like, Excel files are not my specialty. I think that's important to know in business, like know what you're good at. Yes. And pass off the things that you're not. And he's like a whiz with all the back end stuff. So he handles a lot of the back end of the website, especially. So there's little things in a business as far as like shipping rates. Like you have to weigh the things to know how much to charge for shipping. And you have to have certain tags on certain things. And so he handles a lot of the back end stuff. I'm more of like the creative part of it. But it's never ending. When you own a business, there's always something to do. And I actually still handle all the customer service emails too, which that is a lot. And that's something where like my husband and Brian, they're like, okay, maybe it's time to pass that off. But I'm like, but oh, the customer service part feels so personal to me too. Like every customer that comes through, I value so much and I want to treat them like a friend. You know, and they, if they like have a question, I want to get back to them. I want them to know, like, I really care. I want you to be happy. Like, let's figure this out. Or if there's like a shipping delay, let's work on it together. So that I have yet to pass off. I don't know when I will, but still doing
that. I love that. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I was texting with Brian earlier this year and I was like, if you guys ever want investors, sign me up. You know, I have used this product for over a year. I'm obsessed with every single piece. Like, and it was so cool to go from like a raving fan and customer into this opportunity where he was like, well, wait, we actually might be interested in this. And
yeah,
there's something that's so powerful when you see somebody's vision and you see just like how hard they're working, and you guys work so hard on the company, but also where it's like, no, this is just such a natural extension. Like I tell everyone about this anyways, like, let's do this. What has been something that you're looking forward to in this upcoming year? Like what is something that's just lighting you up? Because we've all faced so many challenges over the last few years. There's been so many unexpected things. There's been supply chain. There's been shipping delays. There's been all of these massive hoops to jump through. But what's kind of firing you up as we enter into kind of a new year, a fresh start? How does that feel?
It feels great. We ended up hiring a third party to help us find new factories too, because I don't know if Brian told you this, but we had a huge summer launch and we had, oh gosh, it was like 9 different styles that we had worked months on designing, selecting fabrics for. And our factories, I mean, just given the circumstances of everything, the one that we were working with due to shortage of workers with COVID and our new quantities that we were ordering, about 3 weeks before we were supposed to get the shipment, they told us they couldn't execute. And we were like, oh, and this was in May and this was for our summer items. So if you're in like the apparel industry, you know, it takes months to even go into production. So we were really cutting it close. We're like, oh my goodness, this is a blow, because now, and we feel like we're letting our customers down too, you know, because if we're like, they're expecting certain things and now we can't get it to them and what are we going to do? So it was hard, but it was a learning lesson for us. Like, okay, we need help sourcing new factories that can handle our new quantities that we have, you know, better communication with in terms of like being able to execute when we need it. And we've done that. Like we've been working hard over the last couple of months and we have amazing, amazing factories behind us. So going into this new year, it's working with these great factories and being able to provide more for our customer overall with our styles. We don't want too many different styles because we don't want to overwhelm the customer, but we're very selective about what we do. So we have a great, great fall lineup and we are so excited to launch that.
I love that. It is so cute. You guys have to check it out. Jen, I want to know, since you've dabbled, you know, you've had your traditional job, you also were in the service-based business. What is something that has surprised you or that you might not have expected about being in a product-based business? Because it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, it's a whole different ball game. And I think it's the same thing as parenthood in a way. Like, somebody yes. can tell you, like, you know, because I saw my husband in it for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw and I was like, okay. But until you're like in the trenches of the day to day, you're like, oh.
This is what you were talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of like friends, they're like, oh, that's so fun, you know. Baby clothes. And I'm like, yes, it is so fun, but there's so much more like behind the scenes of a business that goes into it. It's the planning, the timelines of everything. Product-based business, a big part of it is cash flow also. So you have to be very strategic and smart about placing POs, ordering, like, what are your factory terms? When are these POs due by? Because you need to have a certain amount of inventory. Obviously, like going into the holidays, you need to load up on even more inventory. If you're working overseas, you have to take into account holidays. So Chinese New Year's or anything like that, because that affects shipping. I mean, there's something new every day that pops up with a business. So I think being in production, having my production background has helped me tremendously, because a lot of times when I was doing field production, if we're in the field, things pop up too. And you have to think on the fly. You have to make quick decisions. And it really taught me just to be proactive, like, all right, well, this is coming up. So we have to make a decision. We have to do this X, Y, and Z. And that's really translated into running a business as well. It's like, you just have to be quick on your feet. You can't dwell on something too long. And when you have your own business, no one else is going to do it except for you or your business partner. So you just need to be on top of it.
One thing that I think is your superpower, and it is stated in the fact that you still respond to customer service emails, is that you listen for feedback.
Oh, yeah.
How could a product-based business owner that's listening to this episode kind of tune their ear to hear what customers are asking for to be able to create the products that respond to those questions or needs or desires?
So a big thing is social media. I mean, it's so easy now on stories to post the sticker question, ask for feedback, yes. You know, go through, be diligent. Like, I try to carve out time every day to really sit down and go through all of our DMs. They can pile up quickly. So you have that. Like, I go through all of them just to make sure, like, okay, are we missing something? Is there a pattern here? You know, like, what's the feedback? How can we change this? Like, it's just taking into account every person's feedback, because it's important. Like, those are your customers. And also emails. We send out an email after someone has purchased our product asking for their feedback, because we genuinely want to know, like, what can we do? Like, is there anything you have comments on? We want to know, because you're important. Our customer is so important to us.
I love that. And I think it's so powerful too, because I think that the more that you can hear, the more that you can listen, the better you can create and the more likely you are to sell out, which is something that actually happens quite often with Baby yes. Barn in a good way, because you're conservative as you're getting things going mm-hmm. in the fiscal standpoint. Do you have any tips for how to create that sense of urgency with your customers? Because I think you guys do that so well. And it's always like, quick, grab it before it's yeah. gone. So tell me about that.
You know, that is something that we actually, it was not premeditated. It just, it happened. And it like happened almost to a fault, because some customers would be really mad. They're like, wait, I really wanted the Dusty Mauve onesie. Like, why is it sold out so fast? And I feel so bad. Like, when I get those emails, I'm like, let me
look. Not intentional.
Yeah, not intentional. Let me look. I will contact the warehouse and see if maybe they missed one somewhere. So it was really, honestly, the sense of urgency was not intentional. I think it just started happening. And I really think with like a product-based business, you can acquire customers, but the products have to speak for themselves. Yeah. So what we discovered with Baby Barn is we would acquire new customers, but the customers would then come back. So when we'd launch something new, they would jump on it and then they would tell their friends. And then we had new customers and we gifted them to different influencers. And we never, like, one thing I was big on was I don't really want to do like a paid thing, because then I almost feel like somebody has to talk about it, but yeah. They love it, then they can mention it. And like, if not, like, enjoy it. It's a gift. And we got lucky in the sense that a lot of people loved it. So they spoke about it in a real natural way. Like you, for example, Jenna, like it was so exciting for us to see Coco running around in the clothes. And we're like, oh my gosh. And I noticed that on different influencers' stories, like their kids actually wear the items, whether we're mentioned or not. Yes. I'm noticing like, oh, which shows like they like it. Like out of all the stuff in their drawer, they're choosing to pull that and it's happening naturally. So it's really just been this wave of a natural occurrence happening. And as far as the sales, we're definitely increasing our quantities because we don't want to disappoint the customer. We don't want to be known for like always being out of something. I think that sense of urgency is good to a certain degree, but we're also just trying to like satisfy everyone also. So it's been a lot of Excel charts trying to figure out the fine balance of inventory. So it's ever evolving.
Well, Jen, now that we've talked about the product so much, and I 100% give it my stamp of approval, it is literally like 98% of Coco's entire wardrobe at this stage of life. Where can everybody find out more about Baby Barn, find out more about you? Give us all of the places that they can connect.
Okay, well, our website is shopbabybarn.com, and our Instagram is the same, shopbabybarn. And you can sign up for our emails, and we're big on not spamming people with emails. We will only email you if there's like a sale or a new drop, or obviously for your feedback to check in to see how everything's going. So to stay up to date for the latest, I would definitely sign up for our newsletter. And then our Instagram, we're always posting. We're trying to get into reels now. So that's been fun. But you can find us on there. And then my personal one is JSTAT. It's J_STADT. It does not roll off the tongue easily, but it was back in 2013 when I created it. So that's my handle.
Amazing. And Jen and Brian are so graciously extending an extra 15% off if you order Baby Barn using the code GOLDDIGGER. I am so excited to see all of your little minis running around in these clothes. And I am just so, so grateful to be a tiny itsy bitsy piece of what Baby Barn is and more to come. Jen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was so fun.
One of my favorite things about doing these interviews is hearing people's origin stories, where they started out, how they found their passion, what life brought them to inspire them to start a business. And Jen's story is just so fascinating to me. It's been super fun as an investor to really look at companies and say, do I back this up? Do I believe in this? Is this something that I love? And I was the one that approached Baby Barn in the first place because I was such a devoted customer and fan. Coco literally lives in these clothes, and they've made dressing her so much easier. Today, she put on a playset, and I was just smiling as she was playing in a sandbox, thinking, this is what childhood should be, and these are the clothes that fit it. I sincerely hope you check out shopbabybarn.com. And of course, use the code GOLDDIGGER to save 15% on your order today. And I'm so grateful you tuned in to another episode of the Gold Digger podcast. Until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger podcast.
Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.